in the mirror, but golly, this really... Things are gonna just drag on and on. Of course, it ought to be pretty busy. We have the assembly coming up, and by then that'll pretty well take a hunk out of it. I think I'll finish my Avon up after the assembly. I may quit before, I don't know for sure. And then...
So, Miles?
Okay, I'm back. I just had to see if this thing was working any better. If you hear me stop it once in a while, I'm checking it because I was told that if I clean it, then it might make it... It wouldn't have that... You know, the way it was before you couldn't hardly hear me. I just got through cleaning it with alcohol, so I hope that'll help, because I sure hate to have to go buy another one just for this. This will probably, I'm positive this will be the last chance we'll ever use it, because I got news for you, honey. You ain't never gonna leave me no more. I can't stand it. Tonight, it's 10:30 right now. The news is on. That's probably what you hear in the background. It's lightning outside. Pitch black. I can't see nothing. And it's lightning back over in the west. It's real pretty. Said we was fixing to see some rare pictures of the North Vietnamese in action. I got your other tape again today. I love to get tapes from you. I don't like to make them, because I don't feel like they're as interesting as yours are. And I feel like that, you know, I don't know, they're boring or whatever. But I thought I'd wrap along on this one. Excuse me, I'm eating my grapes. Now, well, things here. I'm back. God, but this isn't made nothing but a bunch of, oh, I can't even talk. I bet this has not made a bit of sense to you. Some real good pictures came on of them, you know, overtaking Quang Tree or whatever it's called. And they got some real rare pictures of the North Vietnamese. They were going into battle out in the open, you know, and they were real quiet. Marines and this, the American Marines and all, and this reporter was there with them right up at the battle lines. Boy, he was down in a ditch and he was talking real quiet. So, they wouldn't hear him and give away their position. Spooky looking. Anyway, I had to go look where Quang Tree was, but y'all are a long way from there, aren't you? You should be in a train by now. And it's a little further up, isn't it, than Cameron Bay. But what goes on there? Do they get hit much? The way you talked, this guy that you had your picture made with, his wife, you said his wife lived there. Is it a pretty safe place? I mean, if the families live there, or I guess they just live wherever they can. But let me know about it. I mean, tell me if you're hit or what goes on around it. What worries me, I think, more than anything, is when you have to fly to Saigon to come home, one of them damn helicopters. What I was thinking, maybe you'll suggest it, that they go out around the water and fly all the way down, way out in the water, where maybe, you know, they couldn't get hit bad. Fly all the way down, you know, right out to Saigon and then shoot across. Because there's not too much going on around Saigon, is there? So let me know. That just worries me to death about the missiles and that helicopter. I think more than anything does. Because at least on the ground you got a chance to get away. I'm going to kill damn Jennifer. But I tell you what, she's getting to be a pest. She's got sores inside of her mouth and she does nothing but bawl for the last 3 days. I'm so sick of her. Anyway, back to where we were. So I got your tape today, and I got one. I didn't get nothing yesterday, and I got one the day before, and I hadn't gotten any letters. Of course, You don't understand when you're sending these tapes. I enjoy the tapes so much. I'm glad that you're doing just fine. You sound, and first thing I gotta say before I forget it, is quit worrying about losing weight. I don't want you to lose any weight. Made me proud that you were finally bigger than I am. Or, you know, will, I hope, eventually. But every time I lose weight, you always lose weight. I'll never be smaller than you are. Never, never, never. So, please, don't come back looking like you did before. You looked like a bag of bones. I liked it when you was hanging out in the middle. It makes me feel like, you know, that I'm taking good care of you. Fattening you up. They say when you get fat, it's a sign that you're satisfied. So see, if I get skinny, everybody will think I'm not satisfied. No, I know. I went to Weight Watchers tonight. Boy, I tell you what, I ain't losing it like I was the first time. I lose about a pound a week. And it murder. Even though it's a new whole new diet thing, it's just a whole lot harder to come off this time. But I'll keep it up. I'm just positive I won't be as thin as I was when you come back the first time. But I'm going to keep going until I lose it. And then I'm just going to keep on the diet. You know, eat a little more, but I think I'll keep going back, even if I have to go back just once a month, you know, check in after I go through the maintenance. Well, I'm sure you don't want to hear about that. Anyway, I'm still fat and sassy and ugly and blech, you know, you're not missing nothing. I hadn't called the courthouse about my passport. I called Kathy because she had just gotten hers, and she told me what all she had to do. She had to get the shots for where she was going, of course, to Italy. I think she had to have a smallpox, I think, that's about all. I don't really know, she didn't say. And then she had to have their pictures taken. All three of them are on one passport. And I don't know what you meant by not worrying about the kids, because and there ain't no way in the world we're going to leave the kids here if we're going to be gone for a month, because there's nobody that'll take care of them that long, and I wouldn't ask anybody. So if the kids can't go, well, then we better just forget it. But if the kids go, I don't know if you just wasn't going to let them go or if they just didn't need a passport, but I'm positive they need a passport because Kathy said her kids had to be, their pictures had to be on it. Let's see. Gosh, I hadn't talked to you in so long. That last tape, I just didn't record anymore after that one. Got so bad. In fact, I think I'll turn this one back right now and see how this one's coming along. Hang on a minute. Okay, so far so good. Doing okay. I want to tell you something too. On these tapes that you've been sending me, whenever you would turn it over and go to the other side, have you ever run it back and listened? You, the other night, or the tape before last, when you turned it over, well, see, you don't always talk clear to the end. You waste so much on the end of them because you won't finish talking. You could have said a few words till it run out. And, so you turn it over. You don't ever run it to the end, even if you quit talking. And you turn it over. Well, I rewind it back to the very end. So, you know, thinking that you rewound it and start from the very back, you know, when you turn it over. Well, the other day you didn't, and you know what the tape was? It was one of your old tapes when you was over there the first time, and you was talking about, you know, who's it been writing to you. And I thought, what in the devil's he talking about? Because at first I didn't recognize it. And you said that you hadn't heard from her in a long time. I thought, oh, hell. You know, and then I realized, then you come on and started talking, and I realized what had happened. In several spots where you stopped recording, you've let it run on. There was a big gap in it today. It was just full of one of your old tapes. So, watch that. You waste a lot of tape. As much as you love to talk, you need every spare inch you can get. And I'm glad you do. It seems like these have been, what, 45 minutes apiece, the last two that I've gotten. And gosh, it don't seem like no hour and a half. So shoot, whenever you feel like talking, just put on another one, just keep on going. I don't mind. I love in the evenings to lay down here and turn the TV, but turn it down like you see it. I mean, you can hear it. Listen to your tape. The news is on now. They're showing, you know, they done away with the death sentence in the United States. No more. And they're showing a picture of them taking a electric chair apart. Shoo. I don't know how I feel about that. Anyway, everything here has been going hunky-dory. It's been hotter than a feuder's pistol ever since the tornado we had. Man, y'all wish you'd have been here. Something else. Although I didn't hear nothing or anything, but you should have seen that this town was hit all over the town. The tornado was on the east side. It went right over Bill's house. Little Ray was standing in his door when the wind was coming. I think I wrote and told y'all about it, but I was sitting here watching TV. See, Dumas got hit right first. Dumas was hit by this storm. And then it started moving. Well, I was at Mom and Daddy's when I heard that Dumas had got hit. You know, it didn't look bad back over in there. So I come on home and thinking more about it. And when I drove up, the lady across the street came over and said that we were under severe a tornado watch. And I said, yeah, you know, I knew that Dumas had gotten hit. And it just didn't look bad. It was lightning. By then it was lightning. It started sprinkling. Well, the clouds got kind of bad looking over in the west, you know, but that wasn't even the direction the storm was coming from. So I packed me a bag anyway, because they said that this storm was headed toward Amarillo. I'd be here in about an hour. So I packed a bag and had it sitting there. And so I got the girls ready for bed. They were so tired. And I made Misty, she didn't want to go to bed, so I made her lay down by me. And so finally I made her go to bed. I said, it's all over. It rained, a real good shower, you know, and then it was pretty much stopped. So the wind started blowing then. A little while after she went to bed, she went to bed on our bed. And the wind started getting up, and she come in, it scared her. Well, I left Jen in her bed. And so I told Misty, I said, why don't you go ahead and put your shoes back on? So she was sitting here, and by then the weather had come on, and all of a sudden, it was on Channel 7, they whipped it over to the wind gauge, and it was all the way over, as far as it'd go, to 100. And he said, downtown, he says, we're experiencing 100-mile-an-hour winds, and we suggest Amarillo take immediate cover. So, man, I run in there and grabbed Jen, picked up and my stuff, got my stuff, and grabbed Misty, and I started across the street. And I tell you, I thought I never would get across that street. Because I kept thinking, man, if that wind hits here, because the wind is starting to get up, I kept thinking, if that 100-mile-an-hour wind hits here, I'll never make it across the street. It'll blow us to kingdom come. Or at least it'll blow Misty out of my, you know, away from my hand and Lord only knows where. But my legs were just jelly the time I got over there. So her and I and the kids went on down the cellar, and then the sirens, well, it was about 5 or 10 minutes after we got down there, Mr. Mueller and them started coming down, and the sirens started blowing about the time they got there. And the winds over, it was just the 100-mile-an-hour winds on this end of town. Because in the paper, I don't know, if you hadn't got the package by yet, I stuck that night's paper, the next night's paper, and it told all about it. And they had decided what it was. They just said it was winds all over town. They finally decided that this over here that hit the motel and blew the roof off into the Sambo's restaurant was just merely high winds. But that one on the east side of town was a tornado. Because a lot of them heard it. Katie said she heard it, and several people out here in the San Jacinto area said they heard one. So they said that one that went over was a tornado, but that it was the wind that done the damage because the tornado was up too high, you know. But that one that went across on the east side of town was a tornado. And Bill was telling me that so right at the corner of Highland and 10th where he was, there was two trailers there. One of them was just completely smashed to smithereens, and another one just blew it all to thunder. Took the outsides and a lot of it and wrapped it around a telephone pole and just scattered insulation, the stove, the refrigerator, all over the street. And insulation was for 3 blocks down. And pieces of tin were in the trees and the high lines. And the high lines across the street from the Rays blew down. Blew over, and they had a hot wire in their yard, and they were shutting the windows, trying to shut the windows or open the windows when they heard that it was coming about the time it started getting up, and they didn't get it up in time. And then they're inside the house, just the windows just exploded out, and they just threw glass all over. About that time, all the lights went out and everything. And he was cutting the head, I think, right across the eye with flying glass. But I think it was 20 some odd that were hospitalized, but none of them were serious. But it was pretty exciting. But over here, we didn't get nothing. I had pop bottles that were sitting on the back porch, and they were still sitting there. But, you know, after that tornado, ooh, this town looks like it's dead. The trees had a real green, brown, droopy looking. Everything just looked dead. It damaged, tore down some stairs out of the villa inn, and tore up the roof and everything pretty bad at the Union 76. Just odds and ends like that. It threw the Holiday Inn East, their welcome sign, it blew it all the way down and blew into the cemetery. The show on TV had the welcome sign. But it just, you know, did mostly things like that. Too severe. Except I guess the motel was, and the restaurant was the worst. There were people in it when it hit, of course. And it tore up the roof, laying on about a dozen cars out in front. But it was pretty exciting that night, to say the least. I can finally say I lived through a tornado now. But I didn't ever hear anything. Of course, we were in the basement. I didn't even hear the wind. I don't know if it even got up on this side of town or over on this street. There was tree limbs down all over on Western. But it was real exciting. That it was. The telephones were out for a long time. I could never get a hold of Bill, and think he was asleep. He said, well, just as it started hitting, he heard it. It woke him up. The tornado did. He could hear it roaring. And he said he just threw open all his windows and his doors. And by then, it had already gone over the time the siren started blowing. So. Well, so much for the storm, but ever since then it has been so humid. It's just like it was in Wichita, just sticky. And today, finally, it kind of let up. The morning after the tornado, the humidity was 96%, and it wasn't, not a cloud in sight. I mean, there was no, it was hot. It was terrible. And it's been that way ever since. Except today was nice. Okay, so much for the storm that happened. No, just a minute. I think I see something out of the car. It was must be my imagination. It looks like somebody's hiding behind the bumper. But I can't tell. I sure ain't gonna go see either.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's thundered now. Anyway, I'll sure be glad you get home. I sure do miss you. Golly dang. It's like you said, it's different. I mean, I missed you the first time. But not like I do now. And after a while, to be truthful, I didn't even miss you after a while the first time. But now it gets worse as the day goes on. Everything reminds me of you and these evenings, you know. I wish so bad that you were here to, you know, so we could enjoy them together. But just a few more months. I can wait. Did I tell you that the assembly, Brother Noor is going to be here to give the talk? It's the first time he's ever been here. So we're all pretty excited about that. And then I think I'm going to work at the assembly for at least a couple of days. I'm going to put both the girls down at the school, the Merritt Club, rather, so I can work. But Saturday and Sunday, they're not open, so I'll have to do something with them. Let me tell you about this weird thing that happened. Marilyn's working with this girl at the warehouse, and she's studying with Ann Regal, or Ann McDonald. You know her. Well, Ann was telling her on her last study that one of the sisters in the East Unit was telling about an experience that she had here in Amarillo. Said she was going from door to door, and she'd come across a palm reader. So the palm reader asked her to come in. She says, I want to ask you something. She said, what is Armageddon? And she asked the sister what Armageddon was. So the sister explained it to her, and she says, well, she said, I was wondering, she said, I've been trying for a long time to contact the spirits. And she said, I hadn't been able to reach them. And she said the other night, I did reach them. She said I asked them where they had been, why they had not coming to me or whatever it is, but not, you know, why they hadn't talked to her. And they said, we've been preparing for Armageddon. And she said, what's Armageddon? And they said, ask one of Jehovah's Witnesses. And then she said, well, no time, a few days or something, that one of Jehovah's Witnesses, the sister had come. And this woman didn't have any idea what Armageddon was. She'd never even heard of Armageddon. So the sister explained it to her. But isn't that creepy? Daddy and I were talking, and he said it was completely possible that things like that would happen because the demons, Satan and the demons, are preparing for their attack. Because, see, there will be a demonic attack upon the organization. Witnesses will be attacked by the demons. So strange things, you know, could start happening to witnesses. They say that the demons will be the ones that will influence the government and to turn against the witnesses, and which will, and they will influence other people to turn against, violently against Jehovah's Witnesses. So this was what this demon told her, this spirit, as she called it. And they say that it's completely, of course, possible because these people do contact the spirits. And of course, we know they're not the, you know, the dead people that they claim they contact, but it is the demons. But isn't that weird? Let's see, Mother was telling Dale Renfrew about him. Dale says, man, it makes you want to grab your book bag and go knocking on doors. And it does, because, man, you know that it's almost here. In fact, I think most of the people look for it after maybe the next fall, because they say it has to all be over. Jesus will be reigning. It'll all be over by 1975 in the fall. I think everybody's pretty well, you know that it'll happen in the fall, because everything has happened in the fall. So they don't leave much time, you know. And the older publications bring out that, according to the time, that it would all be over in the fall of 1973. And then the new publications say possibly 75 or before. But it's got to be over by 75. So you know, honey, that just ain't much time left. Sure isn't. It scares me to know that our life is rapidly coming to an end. It's like a doctor's told you, I'm sorry, but you've got cancer and you won't live except for maybe another year. There's only one thing about this. We might not die. We got that little bit of hope that everybody wishes that they had a chance, you know. Somebody has cancer, they say, well, maybe they'll come up with a miracle drug. It's a small bit of hope that they have to live for, and that's all we've got, is the hope that we'll do something so we all can live and be together. Missy told me the other day, she says, Mommy, she says, I don't want to die. She says, I want to be in the new world. And it just about tore my heart to pieces to hear her, to know that, you know, she knows, because she's heard us talk, and she's aware of the fact that she might die. But I hope that when you get back, we'll get with it. You were talking about it would be hard, you know, it being that the bunch down there that is. Let me tell you something, that North End bunch is a great bunch. There's not any of them down there that I don't want. Not a one. And it's going to be that way everywhere. The only reason probably is, you know, because of Wichita Bunch, is because we didn't go that often. We didn't know any of them that well. And talking from Ellen Haney, they had just as much problems in their congregation as they did here, because she was telling about how she couldn't stand Jack Kester or Charlene and some of the others. So, honey, it's that way in every congregation. It's like Daddy told me, he said, you're just going to have to make your mind over that you're going to have to forget what's happened and forgive, because this could be our test. This might be what Jehovah will test us with, or how he will test us. Dang, here I am. I bet you're saying, God, I wish you could waste that tape preaching to me. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to preach to you, but it's just that I love you so much, and I want us to be together forever. And I need your strength, honey. To do it, I need you. So I hope that when you get back, that you won't let these feelings keep you from coming on into the truth. And There's a lot of them that will help us that we can be friends with. But we don't have to socialize with them. I mean, you know, we can still be in the truth, and we can still go to the EAA meetings, because there's nothing wrong with that. As long as we're putting Jehovah in His service first, we'll have time for it. You know, it's not a constant thing. But we can do it. There's no reason, you know, we don't have to get buddy-buddy with those people down there. In fact, I found that you're better off if you don't get buddy-buddy with them. So, I hope you think about it. Think about just forgetting what all's happened in the past. Because when you said, you know, you didn't know if you could attend the meetings here because of those people and all that. Well, that's what I got to thinking. I thought, it's just an excuse. I mean, they're going strong. And if we sit at home, we're not hurting anybody but ourselves, because here they're still going. And who knows, you know, they'll be in the new world, and here we are. We'll be dead because we didn't want to go to the meeting with them. We're not hurting anybody but ourselves. So we may as well get in there and plug right along, too. After all, we've got two precious girls to work for, and I think that they're worth it. They're worth swallowing our pride and forgetting what's happened and get down there. It's their lives, because they won't be saved, because they're not at the age of accountability, and they won't be. This world will never last that long, so you know it's up to us. And if, you know, if we're going to sit at home and be happy because of what's happened, 10 years ago, then, you know, what do you expect? They'll lose their lives as well as us. You know, if it's not the right that we can forgive each other for what we've done, and we can't forgive those people, you know. So, I hope we'll do that. Good, now I can't believe it, honey. I've almost talked for what, 30 minutes? This thing's down to the nitty gritty. God, but you're so bored. I know, you said not to say that. There's something else I want to discuss with you. I don't know whether to wait to the other side or what. I think I'll wait to the other side if I don't forget it. I hope by now you've gotten your packages. But you're going to murder me when you see it. You know, I put all that stuff in. And you told me in one of your tapes, you said, don't send any tea or any darts. And you said, and you don't have to send any crackers. I can get them here. So I didn't send any crackers with your chili. But I hope you can get some crackers. And I just sent one package of those potatoes, but you fix those up, and if you can get them to taste them, you think you enjoy them, well, then next payday I'll send you some more, and I'll get you some Spam. Or when you get to the train and find out what all, you know, you can get and what you can't get, well, let me know, and then I'll send you another box of it. It wasn't so bad, you know. I figured that big old heavy box, all those canned goods in it, would cost, you know, $5 or $6 to send it. But all I had to pay was for airmail from here to San Francisco, which was $2.45, and then plus a dollar, which is sent PAL or whatever it's called, and then that dollar got it to San Francisco on over. Lord only knows how long it'll take, and I hope and pray those Snicker bars aren't just one mass blob of chocolate. But I hope you enjoy it, and I wish you'd hurry up and get the Flaherty's box. They had a nice big, it was a lot nicer than mine. I put your books in it, plus another book that Bill gave me one night. I read the first few pages, and I didn't even want to read it. So I thought, well, you like that, so I'll send it to you. So they're in there. I think one thing we'll have to discuss is Bill, too. I hadn't seen Bill since one night, and, honey, I don't want you to say anything. I think, you know, you was telling about him doing his niece, and I just, my blood just turned cold. But, you know, he told me that he had been to an analyst after he was married, I think. So maybe he's gotten that worked out. But the other night, one night he came over about 10 o'clock. No, it was about 9:30 or so. And he didn't leave till about 3 that morning. Well, we talked some, you know. And he let me know that he would never try anything with me because you were his friend. And that's something he wouldn't do, was his buddy or his friend's wife. But, you know, he knows how I feel about it. I told him that there was no way in the world I ever would go to bed with another man. I loved you too much, and I wasn't going to do it. So I don't want you to worry about it. I don't want you to be pissed off about it. Don't say nothing because, you know, I'm going to stop going to the meetings with him. I'll just start taking my own car. I won't make any more trips to Happy with him. And he hasn't asked me. I've turned him down the last time he called when we got the circus room with him. And I didn't. And I won't do it. I'm like you. I don't want anybody to think badly of me. I think I'm a whore not running around on you. So I'll just cool it. I think he's gone to Houston. You know, Bell got out yesterday for their 2 weeks. I think I better turn this thing over right now.
Missed supper tonight and opened me up a can of junk here. Looking forward to getting my care package. And I hope you got your thing in good shape. Your present, I couldn't understand if you, it was at the post office and you hadn't picked it up yet or what. Or you just hadn't got it but you was thanking me for it. Or, I was left with the impression it was at the post office. Well, honey, I love you so much. I don't want nobody messing with you. And if anybody does, it's going to be too bad. So, I love you with all my heart and everything that's in me. And I'm going to do everything I can to be the best kind of husband that anybody could be. Because I don't want you wanting anybody else. And the only way to do that is be what you want. So, I love you and take care. Pound your pud and tell me about it. And I love you, honey, and so long.